Well, I'd like to welcome any visitors that we might have in this room tonight on our first gospel. And let's begin with hymn number 25. It says, "Life at best is very brief, the end time." Some brothers start that, please. Some of the scriptures that I had on my heart to read today, tonight. I just wanted to make a few comments on this song that we just sang. It's a very solemn song, isn't it? Really speaks the message. One could give the gospel on this song alone. But notice the first line of the first verse. It says, life at best. Well, life, you know, and I know, we know that life isn't always at its best, is there? There's difficulties. There's disappointments. There's discouragement. There's sicknesses. Loss of jobs. Disappointments all along the way. And there's even death in the family, isn't there? We've all experienced it. There's probably not one in this room that hasn't experienced a death of a loved one, a relative, that hasn't been to a funeral. Life at best is not always at its best, is it? Well, suppose young people, I particularly mention this, suppose life was at its best. Suppose you had everything going for you. Everything was going smoothly. Well, we know one in the Bible, Solomon. He had everything at his disposal, didn't he? Everything his heart desired. And what was his conclusion? Everything was just void. It was not worth anything. He came to the conclusion that it was all vanity, vexation of spirit. So let's say you had everything. There are very wealthy people today that have just everything at their fingertips. And yet it says right here, life might be at its best that the world could offer, but it's going to be very brief. It's going to be very brief. It's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. And we're all, everyone in this room, if the Lord should tarry, is rushing on to eternity. We're all going to spend eternity in one place or another. And I want you to be honest with yourself tonight. Where would you spend eternity if you were taken from this scene? Do you have any guarantees how long you're going to be? How long life is going to be? No, it says right here. It says that time is gliding swiftly by. Death and judgment both draw nigh. To the arms of Jesus fly. Be in time. Oh, dear ones tonight, how important it is to be in time. Because you know, and we all know, that time is running out in this world. Soon judgment is going to commence. The Lord Jesus, when he was on this earth, he said, now is the judgment of this world. They took the Lord Jesus and they said, we don't want this man. And they nailed him to a cross. And God's going to judge this world very soon. The day of grace will soon close. Are you going to be part of those that are going to be caught up, taken out? And you say tonight that your sins are forgiven, washed in the precious blood of Christ? So with this in mind, please turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we'll begin reading verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And I wonder, dear friend, tonight, is there one in here that the gospel is still hid? Is it still hid from you? Well, you say, what do you mean, hid from me? I have the Bible. I can read it. What do you mean, is it hid from me? Well, if you've never gotten on your knees before a holy, righteous God and confessed to God that you're a lost, guilty, hell-deserving, hell-bound sinner, if you've never received the Lord Jesus into your heart and asked Him to be your Lord and Savior, then the gospel is still hid. It's like what we had this afternoon. Peter, he got on his knees before the Lord and he said, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man." Have you taken your place at the foot of the cross? Have you gone in the very presence of God? And have you acknowledged before God that before God and Him alone you have sinned, like David did? He acknowledged his sin, lost condition. And that's what you need to do. We have the perfect formula in Acts 20. It says repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what we need. And if you haven't done that, dear friend, the gospel is still hid. Or you might know the Bible probably better than me. You might be able to quote verses, Sunday school. You might live a very good and a very upright moral life. But that doesn't count one bit towards salvation. Because neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. It's only through the finished work of the Lord Jesus on the cross. But it says that if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. And I trust there's not one in this room that falls in that category. We only read of two people, two classes of people in the Word of God. Either you're a sinner saved by grace, or you're a sinner still lost on your way to a lost eternity. There's no other choice. There's no other way. Either one or the other. Either you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, either you can say the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me, or the gospel is still hid. And who's hiding it? Who's hiding it from you? In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, or blinded your hearts. Well, He's doing more than that. I want to turn over to another verse in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And the 26th verse, the end of that chapter, we read that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. And we can read other scriptures that tell us that those who are still lost are led away captive, bound by him. Not only does he blind those who believe not, but he's leading them away bound by his will. Do you realize that today? Do you realize that, dear one? That Satan, the God of this world, is under control. He's under control of your soul. And he doesn't care whether you have a relationship with God. He wants to keep you from that relationship that we were talking about, our brother earlier. A relationship and a knowledge. He doesn't want you to make that right choice either. I'm going to talk about that later. I hope to carry that theme across because it's a good one. The relationship, knowledge, and choices. Without a personal relationship for the Lord Jesus Christ, you can't have the knowledge of the glorious gospel of Christ. You cannot understand the Word of God. Because it says, a natural man receiveth not the things of God, neither can he know them. He can't know them. You can't know the Word of God because Satan is blinding your mind, your hearts, and he's leading you away captivity. But God's not hiding the gospel. Oh, no. He's still proclaiming the good news. It says the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. I want to turn to another verse in Luke's gospel. This is at the beginning of the Lord Jesus' pathway down here in Luke 4. Listen carefully to what the Lord said to his own when he came unto his own. And I'm sure that some of these that heard these words that the Lord Jesus said must have been good news to their ears. It says in verse 18, chapter 4 of Luke, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has appointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." Well, we're all poor, aren't we? If we're lost in our sins, we're poor, failing, miserable, hell-deserving, hell-bound sinners. Unable, we were without strength. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. We had no strength. We were down in that miry clay. We were in that horrible pit in that miry clay. The Lord Jesus came down to take us out of that. We couldn't take ourselves out of that horrible pit. It says here, to preach the gospel to the poor. And he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. To heal the brokenhearted. Is there somebody in this room that life isn't at its best? You feel a heavy load? Is the Spirit of God, through the Word of God, trying to reach your conscience to awaken you to your need? I trust it so. Don't reject that. Listen. Listen to the Spirit of God to reach your heart. He wants to set you at liberty. Only the Lord Jesus can do that. And he's come down here to this scene. I want to read just quickly. I think I have enough time. We often sing this hymn in the Little Flock book. What a marvelous message this is. It says in hymn number 93, "From the palace of his glory, from the home of joy and love, came the Lord himself to seek us." He didn't send a powerful angel. That wouldn't do. God sent his beloved Son into this world for you, for me. "Came the Lord himself to seek us. He would have us there above. There from that eternal brightness have his thoughts flowed forth in love. He in his great love would have us ever there with him above. Trembling we had hoped for mercy, some long place within his door. But the crown, the thorn, the mansion, all were ready long before. And in past and distant ages, in those courts so bright and fair, ere we were, was he rejoicing, all he won with us to share." And that's the gospel message that we are still able to preach today. How the Lord Jesus, it says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for our sake, for your sake, he became poor." How poor did he come? Oh, he went to the cross. He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And he suffered untold agony, not only by man, but by God. And if you accept the Lord Jesus tonight as your personal Savior, you can say, "The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." You can say, "The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, has cleansed all my sins." He can do that tonight if you're willing, if you make the right choice. Because without the relationship of God, there is no knowledge of the Word of God. And if there's no knowledge of the Word of God, you'll never make the right choices in life. And we're going to see, I'm going to read what I have on my heart to read about one person who had the very opportunity that you have right now, who's standing right in the very presence of one who could bestow eternal life on him. And he walked away grieved. He walked away grieved. He made the wrong choice. And as far as we know, we've never heard from him again. And he had to live with it, not only for time, but for eternity. We're all faced with eternity. You only have this life to make a choice, the right choice. You don't have any other opportunity. Once you pass into eternity, your destiny is fixed. You read that in Luke 16. Read it for yourself. That man is still looking for a drop of water. He'll never get it. He made the wrong choice. He lived for himself. Is that what you're doing? Living for yourself? If the gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. And I want to turn to one account that we have in Mark's gospel. One whose gospel was hid, and he just couldn't see the message that the Lord Jesus was right there in front of him, that he was trying to present to this young man. He's trying to reach this man's conscience. And the man walked away lost, as far as we know. Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, and verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these things have I observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, and sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me." He was sad at this saying, and he went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Jesus looked about, and saith unto the disciples, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again, and saith unto them, "Children, how hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, "Who then can be saved?" And Jesus, looking upon them, said, "With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible." Now, we could turn to two other Gospels, and we get a more of an insight on what was really going on in the heart and the thoughts of this young, rich young ruler. And it really brings before us how everything is laid bare by the Word of God. It says that God searches the heart of man. All things are open and naked unto him whom we have to do. And on the surface, this looks like, well, the young man is showing great respect to the Lord Jesus. He comes running. There was a sense of urgency. He kneeled down. He sort of gave the Lord Jesus the compliment, "Good master, good teacher, good rabbi." But if we read the rest of the narrative and the other two Gospels, we read that he only wanted to justify himself. He sort of wanted a pat on the back. But you know, a couple of things I want to notice in this account, that even though the Lord Jesus knew all his thoughts, knew all about him, and we read often in the Gospels where it says, "And Jesus, knowing their thoughts," over and over again, he knew what this young man was all about. He was the Word. And we have that in Hebrews 4, don't we? Where it says that, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing center of soul and spirit and the joints of marrow. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Oh, the Lord Jesus, he knew the intents and thoughts of this young man. But you don't read any rebuke, do you? You don't see anywhere or hear read anywhere in this narrative where the Lord Jesus said, I know what you're thinking. I know you're just trying to get a pat on the back. No, you hear no rebuke whatsoever. And I'm sure there was a lot of people following the Lord Jesus that day, as there normally was. Probably a lot of people around him. But he stopped. He stopped to talk to this young man because he tried to win his soul. He tried to reach his conscience for what was needed the most. He wanted this young man to make the right decision. He wanted a relationship with this young man. And so we find here that there's no rebuke of the Lord Jesus. Even though he knew all about what was in the heart of this young man. And so there's two other things I want to point out. And I believe that the Spirit of God, I often wondered why the Spirit of God brings an account in Scripture in three different places. Especially in the Gospel, you often read the same account, various variations, but the same account. And I think it's one of the reasons that I believe it is because it's so typical of what we have today. I want you to notice this as we go through this. It's very typical. That is, what you think of Christ? What think ye of Christ? And our approach to God. These are two things right here that comes out in this part. And you want to know where a person's relationship is to the Lord Jesus? Then you go up to them and you say, what do you think of the Lord Jesus? What do you think of Christ? You'll get a lot of different answers. But just try that sometime. Just ask somebody, what do you think of the Lord Jesus? Well, this young man, he said, good master. He couldn't rise any farther than the humanity of the Lord Jesus. Was the Lord Jesus a man? Yes. He was the most unique man that ever lived. He didn't have Adam's nature like you and I. He was sinless one. He could not sin. There was no sin in him. And yet he could suffer hunger and thirst. Weariness. And when they hung him on that cross, he felt every bit of that pain in the nails, in his hands and his feet. Every bit of it. But he wasn't subject to death. Not like you and I. Oh no, he had to expire himself. He had to give up his life. For he had eternal life in himself. And he gave up his life willingly. No man could take his life, but he gave up his life willingly. That's how poor he came, that we might be rich in him. And so he did not see that divine one, that holy one sent from God. And we read in another part of the gospel, I believe it's in Matthew and Luke, where another one confessed. And what a difference in his confession. When the Lord was here, he asked his disciples, whom do men say the Son of Man is? And they gave him various answers. But then he said, well, who do you think I am? Oh, that's quite a question. And I ask you, my friends, who do you think the Lord Jesus is? The one that was here, sent from God. And Peter, Simon Peter, we had him today, didn't we? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. What a confession. And the Lord Jesus said, blessed art thou, son of Jonah. If you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, blessed are you. Happy are you. You have peace with God. And that's what we're preaching tonight. Being justified by faith. We have peace through peace with God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Is that what you're longing for tonight? Do you have peace with God? Do you have rest in your soul? Can you say that you can walk out of this room tonight rejoicing, knowing that your sins are forgiven? That's the gospel, the grace of God. And it still goes out tonight. Time is running out, like we said. And so he says here, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Well, we know today there's many doers out there. Everybody wants to do something to win favor with God. Well, I know there are some who would give vast amounts to churches and other charitable organizations trying to win favor with God. But the word of God is very plain, not by works of righteousness, or that is, doing the right thing. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy. For by grace are we saved through faith, not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. And God is offering that gift tonight. What a wonderful gift. Are you going to reject this? The wonderful gift of salvation? So there's a lot of doers out there, but there's nothing we can do. All has been done, as our brother mentioned a few weeks ago in his gospel message. All has been done. All is prepared. And the message to you and I is to come. Come, for all things are ready. And he wants to invite us into his banqueting house. His message over us is love. And so the Lord Jesus says here, he answers this man, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Was the Lord Jesus good? Oh, to be sure. He was the only good man that ever walked the face of the earth. At his birth, the Spirit of God would say, that holy thing that will be born unto you shall be called the Son of God. And the thief on the cross, he could look at the Lord Jesus and say, this man has done nothing amiss. He was the only perfect one. He said, he could say in his life, I do all those things that please the Father. Can any of us say that? He always went about doing good. And at the cross, they mocked him and said, well, he saved others. Himself he could not save. That's the blessed one. What was he meaning here? What was he trying to convey to this man? Well, this man thought he lived a good life. I suppose he had life was pretty at its best. Life was pretty, but there was something missing, something lacking in his life, something that was empty, some void in his life. So what was he trying to convey to this man? Oh, he was trying to reach his conscience. He's trying to reach your conscience tonight too. But it says here, what may I do to inherit eternal life? Well, he was concerned about eternal life. We got to give him credit, I guess. But I want to ask you tonight, are you thinking about eternal life? You think this life's going to last forever? Oh, no. As I mentioned earlier, we're all heading for eternity. Some quicker than others. You never know when you're going to pass into eternity. On the way out here from California, we passed many a graveyard. And I suppose if we went into all those, we'd see many dates, many ages. How solemn it is. It says, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a holy God. But we don't have to. You don't have to come under the judgment of God, because he sent the Lord Jesus to die on Calvary's cross. And if you come to him tonight, and like my brother, like the brother said a few weeks ago, you don't have to wait till this gospel meeting is over. You can bow your head right now. Because if you wait till this gospel meeting is over, it may be too late. Do you know when the Lord Jesus is coming? He could come before this gospel meeting is over with. And if you're left behind here after the rapture, after those who have put their trust in the Lord Jesus and are sheltered under his precious blood, you'll be left behind, and you'll be left behind for a horrible, terrible judgment. And after that, you'll be lost for all eternity. All men would like to proclaim there's a second chance, there's always another opportunity. Well, there isn't. Because you're responsible. You're accountable. And so he was trying to bring before this young man what we have in Romans 3. I believe he was trying to point out to this young man that there is none righteous, no, not one. There's none that seeketh after God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, we always like to compare ourselves, and I guess it's human nature. We look at one another, well, that person is a lot worse than me. I don't do all that. I live a pretty good, decent, moral life. And you probably do. But compare your life to the glory and the holiness of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. And that's the place you have to take before a holy, righteous God. You have to get on your knees and confess to God that you are a lost, guilty sinner. Otherwise, why would you need a Savior? And if you don't do that, you make God a liar. You want to make God a liar? You want to get into His presence and His face? And say, God, you're a liar because I wasn't a sinner. I didn't need your salvation. Is that what you're going to do? Oh, it says, let God be true and every man a liar. And so we have to take our place, don't we? As guilty sinners, lost. Oh, but what a remedy that He has for us. He doesn't leave us in that because Christ is the Savior of sinners. Why were we yet sinners? Christ died for us. Isn't that wonderful? What a message we have. He doesn't leave us in that condition. I want to tell a story about a young man that I knew many years ago. And this young man, he didn't come from the best of life. Life wasn't at its best for him. He came from what you call a dysfunctional family. He had it pretty rough. And so this young man struggled through school, graduated, and as most young people did in that time, went into the armed services. And on occasion, when he got liberty, leave on the weekend, he'd go and visit his girlfriend. And this one particular weekend, he came there, and he knocked on the door, and his friend there had a strange look on her face, and he asked, well, what's going on? He's ready for a date. He's ready to take off. And a friend of hers had a friend over, girlfriend over there, and she just didn't want to get rid of her. So he thought, well, what should I do? Should I stay there with the parents? No, that wouldn't be a good idea. Or should I just take them both along and see what happens? So he chose that one, and they went driving. And this young girl was just recently come to the Lord Jesus herself. Now, I might point out this young man, he never knew anything about God. Never. And I think he was around 20, 21 years old. He knew nothing of the Word of God, the Bible. He never went to church. No one ever gave him the gospel. 21 years old. In the armed services. Could have been shot. Who knows? Could have been in harm's way. But I think the Lord had His eye on this person. So they went driving around. And she started to talk to this couple. Telling them that all had sinned. There was none righteous. No, not good. Well, his girlfriend had a hard time with that because she had been raised in a very religious church. But you couldn't You didn't have much trouble convincing him that he was a sinner. He knew he was a sinner. But what he didn't realize and what he didn't know until she told him that he was unaccountable to God. He'd have to answer to God. Well, he was terrified. Just fear for a moment flooded his soul. Because we're all responsible to our Creator. We all have to give an accounting. It's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. But then she poured in that cool, wonderful, refreshing water and told him about the love of God in sending his Son, the Lord Jesus, to die on the cross. And that God, at that moment, was willing to wipe his slate completely clean. And that was power enough in the precious blood of Christ to wash his sins all away. And he really took that home. What a message it was. And they never saw this young girl ever again. It was that one time, a faithful servant of the Lord, a young girl, gave the gospel to these two people. Well, she continued. I don't remember the whole story. But he decided to go back to his girlfriend's house and drop him off and said, well, he said, I know what I have to do. And his girlfriend said, well, what are you going to do? He said, well, I'm going to go home right now and get on my knees and confess to God that I'm a lost, guilty sinner, and I'm going to receive the Lord Jesus into my heart. Well, his girlfriend was dumbfounded. But yet the young lady that was with us, with her, the young man and his girlfriend, she just was tears of joy. And this young man, he went home for the very first time, got on his knees, and he confessed his sins. He confessed and acknowledged his sinful, lost condition. And he asked the Lord Jesus to come in his heart and save him. He made the right choice. He got a relationship with God. Did he have any knowledge of the Word of God? Just what she said. If you would have went up to this young man and said, well, what do you base your salvation on? Show me a verse. He couldn't turn to John 3:16. But the next morning he rose out of bed and the first thing he said to himself, I'm saved. I am saved by the precious blood of Christ. How did he know that? Because the Spirit beareth witness to our spirit that we are the sons of God. That's how you know. That's how you know you belong to the Lord Jesus. Because you have rest in your soul. You know the Lord Jesus has paid the price for your sins. You can say the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, my time is quickly going by. I want to get to this one point. And so he goes through all the commandments and everything. And so the man said, well, I've observed all this. There's nothing left. I mean, I've lived a good, moral, upright life. I've kept the law. I'm a good Jew. There's nothing more. And then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said, one thing thou lackest. Go thy well, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. I hear this man was given a choice, wasn't it? We talked about that today. You young people, what you make a choice today will have an effect for the rest of your life. You have to be careful what choices you make. This young ruler who had seemingly everything going for him. Do you have everything going for you? Is life at its best for you? Well, this young man, he was hanging onto this world's goods too hard. Or the world was hanging on to him too hard. But he couldn't give it up. What's keeping you? What are you hanging on to? Oh, I pray you count the cost. Ere that fatal line be crossed and your Christ the soul be lost. Be in time. And so he brings before this young man, he says, one thing thou lackest. And that may be the only thing that will keep you from the blessings of God to have your sins forgiven is one thing. It only takes one thing. That's all. It only takes one thing. And he was sad at this saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. How sad it is. Is that, will that be your case tonight? Will you walk away grieved because it's just too much? It's too high of a cost? I can't hardly even comprehend that. Because you have everything to gain and nothing to lose. And yet if you walk out of here again rejecting the gospel of the grace of God, you have nothing to gain and everything to lose. Your eternal soul. And what is your soul worth? What are you worth in the sight of God? Well, the Lord Jesus went to the cross. He died for you. And his precious blood was spilt there, Calvary's cross, to wash your sins away. That's the cost. That was the cost of God of giving up his beloved son for you and me. It was too much for this man. And he walked away grieved. He had an opportunity right there in front of one who could give him eternal life. And at tonight, if you still don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, if you're going to walk away again, as perhaps many times have you had, this young man that I told you a story about.